May it please Almighty God to bless us together this evening as we meditate in his holy word. Let's turn to the prophecy of Zephaniah and the third chapter, and we'll read verse 14. The prophecy of Zephaniah, chapter 3, and reading verse 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. It's really very interesting to realize that the Lord spoke to Zephaniah to prophesy such words. We know when Zephaniah lived, we're told in the first verse of the first chapter, that he lived in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. So what we know is that he lived before the time when the Chaldeans came and conquered Jerusalem and took the people captive down to Babylon. And although there had been prophesied by many prophets over many years, yet the children of Israel turned their back upon those great warnings which they received. And as we know, they were indeed taken down into Babylon, and just a handful left in Jerusalem. So it was a very tragic scene and situation which developed. And yet we have Zephaniah here prophesying and telling them exactly what would occur, and how the Lord's wrath would be and would come down upon them. And yet we see, we come to verse 14 and we have this wonderful statement. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Clearly, this was a prophecy directed to the people. And although it was written quite a few years before, it did come to pass. And there was a time when they would be able to rejoice, when once again they would be restored to their place in Jerusalem. And they would have great reason to then shout and sing and be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. There's a number of occasions in the Word of God that direct us to very similar statements. And we should be thankful, therefore, the Lord is gracious. The Lord did not deal with Judah and the Israelites as they deserved. They could have been cut off totally and never have returned to Jerusalem. But we see God's mercy to his ancient people. And that, my friends, is a picture for us today. You and I as individuals have many warnings from the Word of God in what we should do and what we should say and how we should respond and how we should act. And so often we turn a deaf ear. Well, each one of us has to look into our own heart to see whether there have been those words spoken through God's word to us and we turned away from them and we haven't wanted to have them applied to our heart, because we know that if we were to follow the word of God, the commands of God, it would be difficult for us. We wouldn't have perhaps what we think an easy life, and yet we should realize the Lord is gracious, the Lord is kind, and he deals with us in love to our soul, and especially with regard to our eternal dwelling. And what a mercy, therefore, if we are blessed to be able to look forward and to realize and to believe that such things will come to pass. This was a prophecy to God's ancient people. And no doubt they often thought upon these words, meditated upon them, wondered when they would come to pass. And yet, of course, they did come to pass in God's way, in God's time, and so that God's word should be fulfilled. God's word will be fulfilled. The mercy is His. And what a mercy that's fulfilled in your life and my life. Even if we have been rebellious, even if we have turned our back upon God. You see, the Lord looks at the heart. We look at the outside. We look at people from the outside perspective. And we can draw very wrong conclusions. But God looks at the heart. And God knows what's going on in your heart and in my heart. He knew what was going on in Jerusalem all those years ago when the people followed their own way and said, "We will not have this man to rule over us." Perhaps that's been, perhaps that is the position in your life today. Perhaps you're saying, "I will not have this man to rule over me. I will go my own path. I will work in accordance with my own timetable." Well, we should realize that God has a timetable. And you and I will work to God's timetable. And God will not work to your and my timetable. Because God's plan is a perfect plan. And you and I will have to fit into that plan. We may not perhaps want to. We might think we won't like to. But you can be sure that the Word of God explains to us, as David was able to testify, as for God, His way is perfect. And it's good when the Lord brings you and me to that confession that God's way for you and God's way for me is perfect. We may not think so at the time, but as we look back, and as I'm sure we come to the end of our journey on this earth, we will be able to confirm the Word of God is true. You see, we look at the things around us. We look in our little world. God's plan is for all the world. And we are just one little cog in that great machine. What a wonderful thing it is if God, in His love to our souls, deals with us graciously, in love, and doesn't cut us off as someone who is utterly worthless, but because His love is toward us, He deals with us not as His enemies, but as His friends. Very humbling, isn't it, to think of that? Well, we won't read through Zephaniah tonight, but you can read it at your leisure, and you might think it's a bit difficult. Well, just read it slowly. It's not as difficult as you might think. And you'll see how God spoke about the Israelites in that day, and how they were indeed following false gods. And yet they had a wonderful history. A wonderful history of God's goodness and mercy toward them. A history which was recorded through Moses in the first five books of the Bible, and then through numerous other writers. There was a wonderful record of God's goodness and mercy. And yet, you see, they still turn their back upon God. But we are thankful to be able to confirm that God is rich in mercy and He's gracious. And you and I are here today because of His mercy. What a favour it is to think of that. Because of God's mercy, you and I are here today. And so, the picture that we have in this account is God's position towards the children of Israel, and yet the prophecy of what would come to pass. And with the prophecy of what is to come to pass, was to come to pass, there we read this grand statement, "Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all thy heart, with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem." It is good when the Lord enables us to come and to praise God, for His mercy endureth forever. I wonder how often we're taken up with praise to God. You know, often we find ourselves looking down, rather than looking up. You see, if we look down, all we shall observe is our sinfulness and the evil of this present world in which we live. But if God gives us grace to look up, "Look unto me," said Isaiah, and he's speaking, of course, of the Lord. "Look unto me, and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." What a mercy when God comes and gives you and me grace, therefore, to look to the Lord. Now, you know, and only you know, whether you have looked to the Lord. I don't know. The person next to you doesn't know. But you know whether by the grace of God you have looked to the Lord. "Look unto me." It's a gracious word. It's a gracious and glorious invitation. How many people ignore it, turn their back upon God? And yet, the great favour for you and me today is that we have the Word of God to read, the Word of God to study, the Word of God to consider, the Word of God to meditate upon. My friends, you and I are on the earth at the moment. We're still on praying ground. We don't know how long you and I will be on praying ground. We don't want to come to that condition and situation where we're taken out of time and we have not read the Word of God. We've not considered the Word of God. We may have read it just for some duty. What a blessing if the Lord produces in our heart that desire to search the Scriptures, to see what they speak to us, what they speak about us. And if we're able, therefore, as we read the Word of God, to trace out the experience of those who have gone before, and to be able to echo the things that we read, realizing that they describe the pathway that we're walking, well, it'll be an encouragement. And if you and I are able to trace these situations, we will come into a path like this, where the Church of God did come, and they sang, and they shouted, and they were glad, and they rejoiced. Now, let's be clear. All the true Church of God come into a place of rejoicing and a place of being glad and a place of sin. We don't pass out of time without acknowledging how great our God is, how wonderful he is. His mercy has come to us. He's touched our heart with his love. He's shown us where we were and shown us his great salvation. And you see, that brings in our heart praise and honour and thankfulness to our God. As I say, as the flock here will know, I often say our life is on this earth for one purpose, to praise God, to bring praise to God and thankfulness to our God. And as the Word of God tells us, we're not our own, we're bought with a price. It's good to ponder that, to realise that if the blessed Saviour has paid the price to redeem our soul, which is, of course, his death and the shedding of his most precious blood, what cause you and I have to praise and to honour and to glorify his name. The devil will try and stop your mouth. The devil's very active. He doesn't want any praise. He doesn't want anybody to speak about their salvation. He doesn't want to hear anybody speak of what the Lord has done for their souls. But what a blessing it is, and what a wonderful favour it is, if God has indeed come and given you and me cause to shout like this, "Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem." It's good to realise that we read here, "with all the heart." What does that mean? Well, it means we're not to be half-hearted. We are to be whole-hearted. And what a blessing it is if we come into that category. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans, he spoke some very wonderful words of encouragement, and it's good for us to realize the truth that he spoke. And he says this in the 10th chapter. He says, "The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's clear, isn't it? You and I are on this earth for the honour and glory of God. And don't listen to people who say, "Well, of course, I never speak about the things of God." Well, there's no evidence of the life of God in their soul. Because this is quite clear, isn't it? "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, thou shalt be saved." The clear position is, if we don't confess, we're not saved. Why? Because we don't bring honour and glory to God. As he's worked out his great salvation in our heart. And therefore we have this grand statement here. "Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel." That wasn't spoken in a silent way, was it? This was evident. There was a shouting for what God had done, an acknowledging of what he'd done. This brings honour and glory to our God. Well, let's ask the question. Have you and I reason to sing and to shout of what the Lord has done and be glad and rejoice with all our heart. The evidence of his powerful work within. Oh, my friends, what a blessing. What a mercy. What a favour. And what does it do? It brings honour and glory to God. And it's good sometimes that we just stop and ponder and think. How are we saved? We're saved through that which the Lord Jesus Christ did. And what did he do? He died. He gave his life in order that you and I might receive life. And my friends, he suffered greatly to save our soul, to redeem our soul. It wasn't something light. He paid a tremendous price to redeem us, to take away all our sins. Is that not reason truly to be glad and rejoice? What it is. And I hope we can really, really appreciate the wonder of it. You know, we read together that 12th chapter in Isaiah, which had really a similar theme in it. Thankfulness and praise. And it commenced by these words. And in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Well, I wonder if we've come to that in our spiritual experience. And in that day, thou shalt say. Again, the word of God is very positive. It's not a grey area. And in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, and thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. You know, sometimes we realize the Lord is angry with us. And the reason, we're told, if you walk contrary to me, I will walk contrary to you. That's the word of God. And you and I should not think that we can turn away from it. And so the prophet goes on, Isaiah, behold, God is my salvation. It's a grand statement, isn't it? There are many beautiful beholds in the word of God. And here, Isaiah is able to confirm, behold, God is my salvation. There's no one else that can be your salvation or my salvation. And what a blessing it is if you and I can come and say, along with Isaiah, behold, God is my salvation. He's the one that has saved my soul. And so he says, I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall he draw water out of the wells of salvation. It is a time of joy, a time of happiness, a time of rejoicing when we have the evidence that our souls have been saved, that it is indeed well with our soul. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. These words are very clear, aren't they? It's the word of God. It's not my word. It's the word of God. And therefore he comes and says, sing unto the Lord. For he hath done excellent things. My friends, if God has touched our hearts and caused us to realize what a sinner we are and how we need the great salvation of God, of Almighty God, we shall indeed realize, hey, he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Well, my friends, God has not changed. God is still great in the midst of us. Still, God is still able and still does great things. And it's good for us today to be able to trace it out. Be glad and rejoice with all thy heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. And as I've said, this doesn't mean half-hearted. It means with all our heart. And in this account here in Zephaniah, we're then told the Lord hath taken away thy judgments. The judgments which were upon us because of our sin, because of our iniquities, because of our opposition to Almighty God. He comes and he says, the Lord, no one else can. The Lord hath taken away. What a mercy it is to realize that. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. What a blessing it is when the blessed Lord God, the Spirit of God, comes and evidences himself within us. There's been a change. There's been a change. There was a change indeed in the days that the Israelites were to prove, when they turned to the Lord and the Lord was gracious to them and the Lord came and delivered them. What a mercy when the Lord brings his powerful will into our heart. You know, you won't be able to withstand the will of God. No, if the Lord has a purpose of love toward you, you won't be able to withstand it. No, it'll come and it'll do that which you could not do. He makes you willing in the day of his power. And remember, power belongeth unto God. It doesn't belong to you and to me, but it brings us to this position to sing, O daughter of Zion, and shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Israel. It's a great blessing when Zion comes to this position and they do sing and they do shout because of what God has done. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hand be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. What a wonderful statement that is, and how true it is. The Lord today is still mighty. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. Isn't that humbling to think that God rejoices over us? Well, every saved sinner the Lord rejoices over. It's because it's the work of his hands, and it's the evidence of his might and power which he has shown forth. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. It's good, isn't it, to read these wills of God. And they're so positive, and they're so sure, and they will not be changed. Because what God has said is done. Yes, there's no going back. And so here we have this mighty God speaking. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Well, it's a mercy if you and I understand something of this blessing in our soul, because it shows to us, and you and I will know, we are a new creature. There's been a change in our heart, and the Lord's done it. It's his will being performed. It's his will being brought to fruition. And surely you and I can rejoice and be glad. Be glad and rejoice to think that Almighty God, yes, the great God, has looked upon us, sinners of the earth, unworthy of any notice. He looked upon us. Why? Well, it's spelled out so clearly in Jeremiah 31. Yea, I love thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That change is the work of God. It's not the work of man. And then he goes on to say, I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly. You see, in the solemn assembly, he'll still be praise and rejoicing to God. This is, we might say, a heavenly rejoicing, a heavenly joy, a holy joy, a holy rejoicing. It's not a frivolous joy. It's not a frivolous rejoicing. But yet we're told, I will gather them that are sorrowful, sorrowful for their sin, and yet rejoicing in what Christ has done. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. What a mercy, as he finally comes to the end of this prophecy. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. What a promise it was. And it was fulfilled. What God says comes to pass. What a blessing and what a mercy it is. Zechariah gives us in the second chapter, again, a little glimpse of a very similar statement. He says in the second chapter of Zechariah, in the 10th verse, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. It's a promise, isn't it? There are many promises. I'm not time to go through them all tonight. You can go home and ponder and search out. There are a number of scriptures in very similar veins to this, and to encourage the church of God and to set before us that which brings honour and glory to God. How we need to realise more and more in the day and age that you and I owe a great, great debt to Almighty God. We are here this evening because of God's mercy. It's not because we deserve it. It's not because we suddenly thought we'd come and gather. It's because of God's goodness and mercy toward us that enables us, a few unworthy sinners, to gather together. Think of a vast world. Think of all those in other countries where Christianity is not tolerated, where people can't gather together like we can tonight. Are we truly thankful for this blessing Or do we discard it? Perhaps we didn't want to come tonight. I don't know. Perhaps you may not have wanted to come tonight. Well, what a blessing it is that you are found here. And what a blessing it is when God gives us in our hearts a desire to gather with the people of God. We're told, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and they gathered together. This is that which brings honour and glory to God. And needful, isn't it, that you and I pray more for the Lord's blessing to be evidenced in this way. This way set before, this was the prophecy to the people in Babylon. And remember, they were there for 70 years. Long time, wasn't it? They'd been told many, many years before that it would come to pass, and surely it did. 70 years. They had plenty of time to think how they disobeyed the word of God. Many of them, of course, most of them, no doubt, died in Babylon, never returned to Jerusalem. But there were some the Lord spared and brought back, and they're able truly to rejoice and be glad at the love and mercy of God. Well, you and I stand before God, don't we? And as I've said, no one else knows what's in your heart, only God. Don't let us be deceived. The Word of God tells us this: be not deceived. God is not mocked. There's many people who've come and gone from chapel and ended up in hell. There's been no real religion. There's been no real rejoicing. There's been no real singing. They may have sung with an out of a voice, but there's no singing with a heart. But what a blessing it is if you and I are numbered amongst the true church of God, the true household of faith. And if such, this verse describes us. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. To rejoice that the Lord has not dealt with us as our sins deserve, but has shown to us his wonderful love and his glorious mercy. And we have to say, what a God, what a Saviour I have, who has not cut me off, as the Word of God describes it, a cumberer of the ground, someone of no value. And to know a little of the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, a love so great that brought the Saviour to this earth to live those 33 years in this sinful world without sin. And just remember, we're told he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Oh, what a Saviour we have. Truly, this word is so wonderfully true. Mighty to save. Mighty to save. And the blessing is this: all those whom he's loved and everlasting love will be saved. And how necessary it is that you and I have the evidence that we are amongst those. And if you perhaps have to say, well, I don't know. Well, it's good to say you don't know than pretend you do know when you don't. But if you don't know, seek unto the Lord. Pray unto him earnestly. Give him no rest. Pray unto him that he will reveal yourself to you as you are, and himself as your great and glorious Saviour. And oh, my friends, when that occurs, there'll be cause, there'll be reason to come and be glad and rejoice and to shout and sing. Here it is addressed to the church of God as the daughter of Zion. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Amen.